So at Isaiah chapter 43, and Isaiah 43, I'm going to start from verse 1. And it's interesting because it starts with "but now." So because it starts with "but now," you know you need to go back to 40, whatever was before that, to get him to the place of "but now." But the explanation in the "but now" is so powerful, you get to understand what was said before. But I would encourage everyone to go back and read a couple of chapters back to see where this "but now" is coming from. So watch this. "But now, in spite of past judgment for Israel's sins, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, ransomed you by paying a price instead of leaving you captive. I have called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, for they will not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned or scorched, nor will the flames kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt to the Babylonians for your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba as a province of Ethiopia in exchange for your release." Watch this. And this is where I want to start to chime in. All that stuff before was there, but we did a lot of that. But this verse 4, "because you are precious in my sight and honored, and because I love you, I will give men in return for you and people in exchange for your life." Let's read 4 together. And you got different translations, I'm sure, but I'm reading out the Amplified Classic, verse 4. "Because you are precious in my sight," stop. "Because you are precious in my sight," and whose sight? God's sight. He's talking. So don't talk crap about yourself or talk down on yourself again. "Because you are precious in my sight." I'm sharing these things with you because this is the place that I'm coming to and have come to some degree, where I have such a peace. I am precious in his sight, regardless of what anybody else says or think. "Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and because I love you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and because I love you." Now watch this. Go back to verse 1. "But now, in spite of past judgment for Israel's sins, thus says the Lord, who created you." Now watch this. "But now, in spite of the fact that you've been judged in the past for your sins," how many of you have experienced some judgment in the past for your sins? Okay, so he's saying, we've been there, done that, handle that. You've been judged, got a little skin tore off your hiney. Now, can we go forward? Come on now. Can we move past that? God saying, we know what you did. Don't keep coming to my throne reminding me of what's wrong with you and the things you shouldn't have done and how sorry you are. And God, I know, heaven knows he's been good. But if you can find, he said, don't keep coming to me like a reject. I know what you've done. You've been judged for it. Come on, stay with me. But verse 4, he says, "But because you are precious in my sight," and I want you to make sure you hear this close. This is very, 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 very important. He didn't just acknowledge that you sin, and he's saying you're still precious. And here's what you're gonna say if you're not careful. "I was judged for my sin, but God loves me and he felt sorry for me. And that's why he's offering me some kind of, a crumb of bread." He didn't just say you were precious. He said, stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. You are honored. God is saying he honors you. No, absolutely not. No, we're supposed to honor God. God don't honor us. Well, then you have this conversation with him because he said, because you are precious in my sight and honored. Honored. Made in his image, in his likeness, honored. God honors you. You honor God, God honors you. My goodness. If I'm honored by God, then I'm honored. If I'm honored by God, then I'm worthy of honor. This, Lord, help their spirit hear what's being said today. Somebody say, I am honored by God. Yeah, you made mistakes. Yeah, you did this wrong. Yeah. But he said, but because I love you, you're precious to me, and I honor you. So you are precious, you are honored, and you are loved by God in his sight. I can say amen and end this message right here. There's nothing else that needs to be said. There is nothing that confronts you from front or back or left to right or above or beneath that matters when you are honored and loved and precious in the sight of God. My goodness. So I said, well, God, what is it that you want to be said here? He said, keep going because that's the foundation. But here's where you go. Because you are precious, say, I am precious in God's sight. Say, I am honored. And because I am loved. Right? He said, because I love you. He said that. I will give men in return for you and people in exchange for your life. I'll give people up for you. Then he goes on to say, fear not. Come on. Fear not, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because I am with you. And I will bring your offspring from the east, where they are dispersed, and gather you from the west. He said, I will grab them, I will grab you, I will get your kids that ain't speaking to you, and I'll get you, and I'll bring you together. I said, why? Because I love you, because I honor you, because you're precious to me. I will get the things that are precious to you. I will round them up. And I will bring them from the east and the west, and I will bring them all together. That's what he said. Listen, he said, because he didn't just say, because I love you and you're precious to me, and oh my God, I just love you so much. He said, there is fruit that comes from my love. There is a response to I love you. Don't you hate somebody keep telling you they love you, but their actions don't show it? He said, I'm not only going to tell you I love you, faith without works is dead, I'm going to show you I love you. And I'm going to show you I love you, oh my goodness, he said, by doing things on your behalf. Even though the beginning of the verse says, we know you was in sin and you were fell and you were judged. But even in that, never mind all of that, because I love you and I honor you, and because you're precious to me, I will gather for you. What kind of love makes a person want to keep doing stuff for you even when you don't do right? What kind of love makes somebody want to keep sacrificing and trading somebody else's sins for yours? That's what he said. I would give them a ransom for you to get you out. Why? Because I honor you. I love you. I'll trade them. And there's a whole different thing that I can go to about that, which I'll do another time. I won't do right now. But I see the sacrifice of Christ in this statement, that I would give somebody else's life a ransom for yours because you're valuable to me. There's a whole, we won't do that right now. But I just want you to understand what's going on here. Even back in the Old Testament, he's saying from the sheep's being traded for you, for the goats and the bullocks being traded for you, and all the things that were innocent being traded for your guilt. He's saying, I will even give up people for you. So he's saying the whole process of God bringing you to him, because you are precious, because you are honored, because you are loved, he's always in the process of saying, I know you out of bounds here and there, but I've made provision and I've made exchange and I've paid the debt, and not, watch this, and continue to pay the debt for where you fall short, because you're valuable to me. I just cussed somebody out the other day. Paid for. Did you repent? Paid for. Let's keep it moving. Let's get back to the I love you part. Oh, Lord, help me explain this. I know this in my spirit so deep, and I hope that you hear what I'm saying. He's like, I've covered it. Got it. I already saw you before you did it. Can we get back to the how much I love you part? Because we want to stay on the what I did wrong part for so long. We want to talk about it and cry about it and share our testimony with the church and get in front of the church. And I know I failed God. And God's like, could you please stop getting on the pulpit and talking about all the crap you did wrong? He said some of that stuff should not even be mentioned. He said, can you get up there and talk about my love? And truthfully speaking, even though people get all over Osteen, you know, because he don't teach sin and he don't teach this and he teach that. And I was like, in the beginning, I was like, yeah, he don't really say much. But then I said one day, I was listening to him and I said, but he says God loves you all the time. He said God cares for you. People get mad because he smiles too much. Well, what do you want to do? Get up there and frown and be mad and bitter and miserable because that's where you chose to be? The man has found a place in God that he's happy and he just want to smile and tell about the goodness of God. If you want to have a church where you're talking about who's going to hell and who's going to burn, you'll go do that. Let that man be happy and share his word the way he feel like he need to share his word. Mind your business, right? And I'm thinking about that. God is in this word of saying here, would you stop talking this mess? I got on somebody's chat the other day and it was talking that kind of crap. And I'm like, doesn't Jesus say go into the world and preach the gospel? Yeah, we're supposed to preach the gospel. No, gospel is translated from Hebrew and from Greek into the good news. Telling people they're going to hell ain't good news. Ain't no good news in telling anybody they're going to burn. He's saying here, even in the Old Testament, before Christ came, okay, I know your sin and you got judged for it, but let me tell you how precious you are to me. Let me tell you how much I love you. Let me tell you, listen, let me tell you that I've made provision for you. This is before Christ came. So how much more now that Christ has came? And if we focused on the goodness of God, we're less inclined to want to sin. I'm just telling you that. When you consider how, when I consider how good he is to me, I don't want to do that. I'm not sitting there saying, God, help me stop me. Don't let me sin. Don't let me sin. Don't let me sin. But when I was living out of the fear of judgment, the hardest thing to do is right there in Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8. The hardest thing to do was to not do it because it was the thing that was in front of me. How can you not trip over what's in front of you? It's right there. He said, can we get past that? Can we get back to the fact that I love you? Can we get back to the fact that you're precious to me? And can we get back to the fact that you have provision. I've covered you. Now, and if you can walk in that provision, you're going to be all right. Somebody say, I am truly redeemed. You are. I am truly redeemed. So don't be afraid. Fear not. I am with you. And I will bring you and your offspring from east, where they were dispersed, and gather you in the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone who is called by my name, who I have created for my glory, whom I've formed and who I am made. Now, this takes it to the next level, and this is where I want to bring it home. I sinned. I fell short. You saw that I was judged. Because I'm precious in your sight, because I'm honored and loved, you're going to give up ransom for me. Don't be afraid, not of what I've done wrong or how I messed up in the past. I am bringing you back. I'm reassembling the things that have fallen apart. From the far, I'm reading right here. I would say to the north, give him up. I would say to south, let him go, send him back. And all of this wonderful stuff, my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, even those who are called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, whom I have made. And that line right there is the line I want you to lock onto as we close this. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. Stay with me. Say, I was created for his glory. I'm not a plaything. I'm not a roach or an ant. I was created for his glory. And he does this for me. And he honors me because I was created for that. Did you catch that? Whom I have created for my glory. That's why he honors me. That's why I'm precious in his sight. That's why he loves me. Ready? Because I was created for that. Wait a minute. Make sure you caught that. Because, Lord, make this land, please, for each and every one of them. We have come to believe through church and through the spirit of religion and through lies, even over the pulpit, that we were created for judgment. Satan and his angels are created for judgment. And judgment was created for Satan and his angels. It was never created for you, ever. Judgment was not created for man. Hell was not created for man. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. The scripture says that. But if you choose alliance with Satan, then you join him in that place. But it was not created for you. It was created for torment for them. You were created for God's glory. That's what the word says. Right there, read it. Read it. I have created you for my glory. You are glory vessels. Not judgment vessels. Not something that God tolerates or puts up with because he made you and ain't got no choice. You are honored. You are loved. You are precious. And you were created for glory. You are glory vessels. You could give this that title. We are glory vessels. You are God created for God's glory. And he created you for that. Why? Because when he looks at you, he sees himself in his creation. I know that's a little hard one for you to take on. I get it, but it's still scriptural. He created all glory belongs to God. Well, God said, I created you for glory. All these church songs says, all the glory belong to God. All of the glory belong to God. And God was like, yeah, but when you're giving it to me, I'm feeding it right back to you because that's what I created you for. I created you in my image and my likeness so that the glory that you give to me gets fed right back to you. You better wake up, children. You're created for glory. And when I saw that, I said, God, that. Why do you think I started telling you the story about my granddaughter saying to me, I look up to you, and I kind of joked it off? Because right away, my first thought was, I'm not worthy of hearing that. And God said, you blew that off, you know. Yeah, I know I did. Why? You ain't going to make me say it. All right, then I'll tell you, because you didn't feel worthy. So how do you think it felt when I felt unworthy of a compliment from my granddaughter that I look up to you to then be led here to read, I created you for glory? How ready for that do you think I was? How ready for it are you right now that I'm saying it to you? Is there something inside of you that squirms and twists a little bit when you hear that God created you for glory? That he honors you? Come on now, let's be honest. We're not going to be free just hallelujah and then let the message end. You got to take this in. You got to face in the mirror that part of you, that ugly part that still wants to shame yourself or talk about what's wrong with you and what you lack. You got to be strong enough to say, God, let me face this down and face this ugly thing and run this thing out. Let you run this mess out of my life. I am wonderfully, fearfully, and wonderfully made. I am beautiful. I am perfect in your sight. You honor me, God. Why do I need man's honor when you honor me, God? You honor me, God. I remove any praise and worship from men from my vocabulary and out of my life right now. I take them out of the God spot. You honor me. And my goodness, that's enough. Who's being blessed by what you're hearing right now? This is fire right here. I'm spitting fire. I'm spitting lyrics right now. I'm spitting bars, right? This is where the power is, man. I'm trying to love me when I don't even accept that God loves me. So I'm gonna end this. I could keep going. I can go on for another hour with this. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I have formed and who I have made. I am very, very important to God. You got children? Remember when they was babies and you just fell in love with them as soon as you saw them? They ain't do nothing. They ain't help you. They can't even say, I love you yet. But you just want to pick them up and kiss them all the time. I know when they get a little older, it gets a little different. But when they babies, oh my God, they're just as pretty. You can have the ugliest little baby in the world. It's the most beautiful baby you ever seen. If that's my baby and you kiss him and hug him. And every time you pick him up, you want to just hug him and kiss him. Where do you think that comes from? That comes from the creator who created you. He wanted to just pick you up and kiss you. But you get older now and you're too big to be, I want to be hugged and I want to be kissed. And I don't like you always touching me. But he created you and looked down at you and picked you up and kissed all over your face. Changed your poop and everything. And it was a beautiful, beautiful experience to do. Come on now. This is the God who created you. He formed you. He loves you. He honors you. Your baby just draw a line on a piece of paper and you be like, oh, that's so pretty. Oh, I'm going to hang that on the refrigerator. Right? I said, what is that? It's a car. It's just a line. But to you, it's my baby drew me a car. Right? That's how God is explaining. That's how I see you. Every little thing you try to do, it looked like a mess to somebody else. Well, you did it for your daddy. I just saw, oh, that's not that pretty. I'm just going to hang that up on heaven's refrigerator. Just let people come and say, what is that funny looking thing? Now, my baby drew that. Don't you say nothing about that. My baby did that for me. That's my look at them. And just honor your baby. Let me just ask you this. I said I'm done, but let me ask you this. Nieces, nephews, those of you who have children, why you take your baby shopping and buy your baby stuff like Jordans and gold and stuff? That baby don't know what that is. Why are you trying to dress that baby up like that? That's for you. That's for you to say, look how I dress my baby. That's the innate God in you. That's the you that want to bless your baby with stuff that they don't even know the value of. That's what he's saying. I created you for my glory. When you look good, when I dress you up and take you out, I get glory. Look at my baby, how my baby looking. My baby pretty than your baby. My baby dressed better than your baby. That's God. And I'm not talking about it from a physical perspective, but I'm talking about it from every perspective. Like, you are the apple of his eye. Say, my God honors me. My God loves me. I am precious in my God's sight, and my God receives glory through his creation, which is me. If you just focus on that, just for the rest of this week, I mean, really focus on this. Don't let this get out of your sight or out of your mind. Keep it in the midst of your heart. If you just meditate this out for the rest of the week, I promise you, next time we come back here, you'll be a different person. I promise you that. People look at me, you're so peaceful, you're so this. I've come to the reality that my God loves me, and I'm precious to him. He made me, not just to throw me out there. He made me for himself to enjoy. And I love it. Just having this fellowship with my daughter, my granddaughter this week, and just seeing how they're just enjoying my presence and loving to be with me and loving to love on me. I get it, God. I get it. I get it. And I want to love on you like that. And I want to spend that time in your presence knowing how much I love you and knowing how much you love me back. And nothing in the world defeats that. Amen. I pray that you keep this word with you. May the word that you heard bring God's blessings to you. And amen.